Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to, good evening, should I say, and good afternoon in some areas. Welcome to the next phase, with Ice and Friends. This is heard Thursdays, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'd like to welcome you to the show, and I'd like to always open with this disclaimer. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Brief description of the show. This show addresses community concerns in regards to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All of these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format, we hope. There will be musical segments on occasion, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving the situations for our youth, such as stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, and reassessing the significance of the spiritual impact in our community, or investigating best possible means for boosting knowledge, for improving your health, as well as many other pertinent topics, too numerous to include, join us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at any time you choose to at 347-945-7040, and we'll be looking forward to your call. We just give us a chance. We forgot to get my chat session started. I've had any number of interested individuals that I've been conferring with here recently, and such as the young lady, Miss Drop Three Sizes, and her name is Lisa, and she's a wonderful person. And she and I, we've been conferring on, and as well as Miss Kitty. Miss Kitty, she just gave me a PM on a chat site that we frequent, and we invite you, everyone, to be a part of this experience, and we greatly appreciate your input. We look forward to hearing from you, as well as you can come to the chat room if you choose to, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Just dial us up. Come to Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com. And put the next phase or Black Ice in the search block, and it'll bring you to our show. We'd like to suggest, if you have a chance, to register with Blog Talk Radio, and that way we'll get a chance to recognize your name as you come in the chat room, and we'll be very, very happy and very appreciative to see you if you choose to join us there, or if you choose to give us a call directly. Right here on 347-945-7040, or you can reach us by email at blackice.1, that's blackicz1@gmail.com, and you can give us any information or any relevant details that you may have, or any if you have any interesting topics or guests that you would recommend, or yourself, if you choose to be a part of this show, just give us a call or drop us an email at blakicz1@gmail.com. Let me say that we highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics they find interesting. And also, always, a wonderful person that I've had an opportunity to meet, and I'm sure that they'll be a blessing in your life because of what they do, is Ms. Rabia Ahmed, and she's the organizer of SMART. The acronym stands for Single Mothers Are Really Trying, and that's a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families who have had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. Sister Rabia does considerably more than just talk. She's very active and very involved with her program, and I really appreciate her and very humbled and honored to have had the opportunity to meet this young lady. I mean, not meet her in person, but I have met her through the airways and the internet world. And I also like to thank you for sharing with us. I thank her for sharing with us, as she has in the past. The site that you can look up her program and greatly, you know, take a look at it, please. And if you can find it in your heart to make some contributions, because the contributions that you invest with her will be invested with the individuals who benefit from her program. The site is www.smart2change.org. www.smart2change.org. Also, in every time in beginning my show, I always like to mention some of the wonderful guests that I've had the pleasure of meeting since I've been on Blog Talk Radio. And one that I had a chance to sit in with this earlier today, this morning, is dear sister India DeClaire on the India DeClaire show. That's her daily, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. And Sister India DeClaire addresses current contemporary issues, as well as human interest stories, as well as any other topics that her listening audience may choose to ring in about. And you can give her a call. And all you have to do is come to Blog Talk Radio, hit the search bar, and put in INDIA, India DeClaire, and it'll take you to the information about her site, her shows. And she also has an email address, and I didn't get it today, but I hope I'll get it a little bit later on maybe. I don't want to mess it up, so I won't even try to give it to you. Also, I'd like to say hello and a shout-out to Sister NAVAXOR1, Sister Navazor1. She's heard Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and she has, I think, a lot of human interest and information about improving yourself, you know, and some wonderful topics that I've had a chance to listen to, and even on archives. So if you don't get a chance to catch some of these hosts live, you can check them out on our archive that's in Blog Talk Radio, and in this case, Sister Navazor, NAVAXOR1, and just put that in the search block, and it'll take you to her. As a matter of fact, www.blogtalkradio.com/Navazor1, and I think that'll get you to her. And Sister Janice Graham, may I say that I'm so greatly appreciative of her and the work that she does with Our Common Ground, and I believe the Truth Works Network. And she's heard Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard. And Sister Janice Graham and Brother Alfo, and I can't think of who else. I think they're going to have, if I'm not mistaken, this week, this Saturday, the State of the Nation. They're, as they address the State of the Nation, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be Sister Janice Graham, Brother Alfo, and my dear sis, Miss India DeClaire. And they're going to take a look, a critical look at the State of the Union, as you've heard addressed this past Tuesday. And also, anyway, that's Sister Janice Graham, JanicGraham, just typed it in the search bar, and it'll take you to her site and give you more information about what she does on Blog Talk Radio. And Sister Quiet, Miss Quiet Storm, MSQUIETSTORM, all one word. And her show is heard Saturdays about 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central Standard, and 12 p.m. Eastern. And that's Miss Quiet Storm, MSQUIETSTORM. And she has a wonderfully entertaining show. Dr. Reba, I hope that she's still on there, Dr. Reba Israel. And you can find her by, I believe, typing in Dr. Reba or Dr. Reba Israel, REBAISRAEL or YISRAEL. I believe that may be right. Give her a listen to also. She's takes a spiritual look at things. We appreciate her. Brother Alfo, my dear brother Alfo, he's heard on 2 p.m. Central Daylight, 3 p.m. 2 p.m. I believe that's for us, it's Central Standard, and 3 p.m. Eastern. and that's on the Truth Network, Our Common Ground, Alpha, A-L-F-O. If you go to Blog Talk Radio, type in the search engine, Alpha, A-L-F-O, and he's a very dynamic individual who has takes a look at things politically and is very astute and has a very well-informed perspective on every issue that I've had a chance to listen to him speak about. Another brother, Jay Early, J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y. Jay Early, he takes a look at issues from a different perspective, I think primarily. He looks at things more in a way self-help, to provide income for yourself. And I think probably maybe some political issues he may get into also. And then a brother I had a pleasure to meet, Brother Gary, not meet, but communicate with through our email here or our messaging system here, Gary McCants, G-A-R-Y-M-C-C-A-N-T-S. And he has a spiritual perspective also on Blog Talk Radio. So as you can see, there's a wide assortment of hosts. And you can be a host right here on Blog Talk Radio if you choose to. All you have to do is go to Blog Talk Radio, and they'll provide you with the information necessary for you to take a look at getting your own show started. And, because me personally, as you can tell, I got 510 area code in here. I'm going to see if she wants to talk. If not, I'll put it back on hold. But 510, can you hear me? Are you there, 510?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, I am.
Oh, hey, is this Miss Lisa?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, ma'am? I know you're on your way and working through traffic, and I just want to welcome you to the show. And is there anything that you want to say to the listening audience out there?
Oh, I'm just tuning in. Just tuning in.
Oh, okay.
To hear what's going on this evening. Thank you so much.
No problem. I'll put you back on hold then. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fantastic.
Oh, great. Thank you. That's Sister Lisa. She's out in California. She'll be coming. Hopefully we'll have a chance to have her schedule on the show. And she has very, very interesting things going on. And I think you will be, I think it'll be a benefit if you get a chance to hear her and what she does. And she has some opportunities to offer if you want to improve your situation financially, as well as health-wise, as well as aesthetically. Sister Lisa, drop 3 sizes in 10 minutes, I believe is the nick that she goes by, but there's so much more to her than just that. So if you get a chance, we'll be hopefully scheduling her in the near future to come on. And let me just give you a brief rundown of what we try to do here on the next phase with ICE and Friends. One of my goals for 2011 is to provide more opinions from the African ethnic perspective. And, because my opinion is that opinions from the ethnic origins have a tremendous value and are absolutely necessary and fundamental to the public discourse. Some people would sarcastically retort, why? Why do you say that your opinions are essential to the public discourse? My response is simply, what exactly is the alternative to the opinions of from people of African origins? Precisely. As I suspected, there is no legitimate opposing view. The only defense is tradition or custom, either of which to me have been found to be totally devoid of substance. And when I speak from the African perspective, let me not neglect Native Americans, Hispanic or Latin American individuals, people, of Hispanic or Latin American descent. Let me not disregard any group, ethnically or culturally. We are definitely a non-exclusionary entity here with the next phase with ICE and Friends. We want to be as inclusive as possible. We want to add the views and opinions, even if we disagree with some of you, but especially those who have been disenfranchised and have not had the opportunity to have their views submitted for consideration by the general public as much as some others have. Because we think that with those views available, people can make a more well-informed decisions and opinions about whatever the issues are that are being evaluated at that particular time. That's just our perspective, and this is what we try to do, is provide a platform that those views can be heard, and we welcome those views. We wholeheartedly embrace the opportunity to provide those views to whatever our listening audience is, and we greatly appreciate it. If you choose to give us a call, you feel free to do so. 347-945-7040 right here on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Another 2011 goal is to continue to stay informed and be abreast of information that is relevant to me spiritually, personally, ethnically, economically, professionally, nationally, politically, environmentally, etc. Because we think those things are very essential to us. I do think those things are very essential to us as a culture, as well as a country. And I think that those ideas, issues, beliefs, opinions are necessary and fundamental in order for us to continue to thrive and be a reasonable facsimile or a reasonable representative of success as a country and as a way of life here in, quote-unquote, the United States of America. One of the things that I found this week in addressing some of the issues that I had decided that I wanted to talk about this week, and again, if you want to give us a call, hey, Delightful T, my dear friend, how you doing? Delightful T from my state of Texas, I'm glad to see you, and thank you so much for joining us right here in the chat room. Delightful T, may I say, is an independent businesswoman, and I will not ever go into any more detail than she allows me to, but she knows I just absolutely love the lady. She's a wonderful person, wonderful spirit that I've had a chance to visit with on occasion through the internet world, and I'm greatly appreciative and honored and humble to have had the opportunity to visit with this young lady. And hopefully someday she'll come on the show. But the business that she's in, she says, Black Ice, I spend so much time on the phone that I don't want to get involved with making too many other calls. And I'm like, okay, I totally understand. But she's and one of the reasons that I like to feature the individuals that I do have a chance to feature, like my brother T.L. Harris and so forth, is that if there are those younger individuals in our listening audience that have a chance on occasion to hear us, I want them to realize that we are very, very diverse as a culture. And the individuals that have reached whatever level of success they are at, not, excluding myself, have done it through, many different honorable means, education, being well-versed in whatever their particular fields, being driven, motivated, determined, committed, and these are some of the things that these are some of the reasons that the people that I have an opportunity to visit with have been featured here as best I'm able to do. We don't have the big stars on yet, and these people to me are big stars in our community, because when you look at some of the more well advertised and more well exposed stars, you are kind of disconnected, because you see where we are and where they are, and then we wonder, we think, oh, there's no way. But when we see people who come from our community who have reached levels of success, then to me it's inspirational, because those individuals give us a context that allows us to see ourselves and hopefully our children as being that successful. And to my idea, we as individuals, and I speak to us as a culture, because we've not had a lot of positive images for extended periods of time. But when we look in the mirror, no matter who we are and where we are, I hope that what we see looking back at us is a successful individual who has a tremendous amount of self-esteem and a tremendous amount of drive and determination, because that is, to me, what we are made up of and what we consist of individually and collectively. And when we focus, to my idea, on ourselves in a way that is a positive, then we tend not to be as intimidated to the extent that we feel we need to tear down another individual or group of individuals in order to find those people, to have those people be lessened. You know, if we feel confident and comfortable in ourselves, then we can encourage others, because we believe that not in a zero-sum game where that there's only so much gratification, there's only so much honor and prestige that we can give to other people. We have to keep it all to ourselves. No, when we believe, I think, in my opinion, that there are tremendous amounts of prestige, ethics, morals, social betterment, and positive thinking. When we know that there is an abundance of it, then we don't have a problem sharing that with other individuals. But when you see individuals, generally, in my opinion, who are what I would consider to be negative, who can only give you a negative perspective, to me, they see only themselves as being limited. And when you see people who are positive, effervescent, people who are energetic and moving straight ahead and straightforward, those people realize, in my opinion, that there is an abundance, and they just continue to move on because they don't have to constrain themselves by trying to hold on to what little bit of beauty and positive content that there is. They know that they can share what they have because they're always going to get back more. You know, to my idea, if you don't have that kind of confidence, to my idea, you're really going to, have some problems. But that's just me. That's just my perspective. And I think I have the right to that, right? Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, one of the things that I found in the news this week was Brother Mandela, Nelson Mandela. Let me give you this. And I found this in the Luke 21, the Dayline, Thursday 1/27, 12:53 p.m. Johannesburg, former South African President Nelson Mandela was admitted to a hospital Wednesday for a medical checkup amid growing speculation over the health of the anti-apartheid hero, the Wall Street Journal reports. Visitors have been flocking to the Mill Park Hospital for 2 days as Mandela, 92, remained under observation for routine tests, according to his foundation. South African President Jacob Zuma called for a calm as the nation awaited updates on the ailing leader's condition. President Mandela is comfortable, quote, and is well looked after by a good team of medical specialists, unquote, Zuma said in a statement from the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. So our prayers and best wishes go out to former President Nelson Mandela, and because this is a generational shift right now, and there is a passing of the guard, so to speak, in some of the next generations, like me at 59, this man at 92, they're passing it down, and it keeps getting passed down to the leadership coming on, and it's going to be passed down to the 40s, the 30s, the 20s. And this man is so exemplary of a warrior that, and a warrior who, in my opinion, was one of the best there was, a nonviolent warrior. And I really appreciate Brother Nelson Mandela, and I only wish the best for he and his family. And I hope that that things turn out really well for him in whatever his medical assessments are. Also, taking a look at the 2011 State of the Union Address, do you have an opinion about that? I got a chance to see it in its entirety, and I listened to some of the commentary, and you know, how do you feel about the commentary? How do you feel about what the president had to say, what the styling was that he used to say it, and President Barack Hussein Obama? Do you have any comments, thoughts, ideas, beliefs? Were you stimulated in one way or another? If you were, give us a call, 347-945-7040. Let me give you a look at how the hip-hop culture responded to the 2011 State of the Union Address. And this also comes from the Loop 21 by Chuck Jigsaw Kriegmer, allhiphop.com. That's Thursday, 127, Dayline, 2011, 1140 a.m. The following editorial originally appeared on allhiphop.com and has been reprinted on theloop.com by the author's permission. I hope that I can have his permission to provide this information to you. But let me just say that he says, "We do big things," that's quote-unquote President Obama. Hip-hop music and culture was born out of the most destitute of conditions in the South Bronx of the 1970s. It was a time that most of us cannot imagine, and that area resembled a bomb-stricken war zone. But it is out of that condition that hip-hop was born, brick by brick, not overnight, not without struggle, and definitely not without innovation. Legends like Kool Herc and Afrika Bambaataa had no roadmap to where they were going, but they paved the way anyway. Tuesday, the president addressed the nation during his second State of the Union address as he spoke on a myriad of topics ranging from jobs to the economy and even gays in the military. Hip-hop got a shout-out, too, if you caught it. Obama simply said, "We do big things." The hip-hop community's response to Obama's speech has been as wide-ranging as the personalities in America, from dismissive to inspired. For example, a friend of mine in Delaware said he watched a mystery movie instead of the president's speech because he didn't want to hear more talk. Furthermore, he's fighting to keep his job, and others around him have already been laid off from theirs. On the other side, others who are presently out of work and who are out there grinding to get it were left inspired by Obama's words. I am one of the latter. Yesterday, that's quote-unquote, yesterday the League of Young Voters Education Fund and All Hip Hop solidified a partnership to publish youth and the hip-hop generation to get out and become more involved in the political and civic process. Starting now is imperative because many of us naively assumed that a wave of wondrous change was going to come over the world after Barack Obama was elected. More than 2.4 million additional youth young people voted in 2008 than the previous election. And analysts say the youth vote was a deciding factor in the election. It is time that African Americans, young people, and others who have historically been marginalized deep dive into the process, or we simply will not matter when policy is being crafted on Capitol Hill. But it isn't just about what's going on in Washington. Sustained change is rooted in community-based efforts and organizations, which goes hand-in-hand with creating a real voter base that possesses real influence. This isn't new. The Civil Rights Movement was built by mobilizing the masses and staying patient and resolute, with understanding that solutions don't happen overnight. The movement is about seeing the light at the end of the tunnel when there is no light. It's about being bold enough to take that step when you know the road is long and winding. Likewise, when hip-hop was created, the founders were trying to make something new. They simply did it. These days, other movements have used the civil rights model to attain what they want and allow their people to flourish. So, while voter intimidation and fraud have been apparent in recent elections and people may be more disenchanted, there's a reason to push onward. We've seen mobilization work for others, but voting is the only piece of this jigsaw puzzle, isn't the only piece of this jigsaw puzzle. Individuals and companies that are vested in the progress are going to have to invest in education, financial literacy, entrepreneurship, and strengthening community among other matters. We all know that the community is terrible, that the economy is terrible, the job market is terrible, violence is terrible. So what happens now? There are some of us who are going to hold Washington accountable, and some will address that in our own neighborhoods and communities. One such person is Saigon. I have a tremendous respect for Saigon because he is not just an artist who raps about change. He lives it. I've co-founded a new movement called City for Change, quote unquote, and I, along with AHH editor Sandra Sims, took the New York rapper down to Baltimore to talk to, quote unquote, at-risk high school teens. I saw change in the room as a number of them quietly talked to Sai about real life issues with selling drugs and doing right by their families. This kind of positivity in hip hop is often swept under the rug. Sai's new album title says it best. This is one of, quote, the greatest stories never told, unquote. My own brother, Jonathan Creekmore, who is a teacher in New Jersey, represents the hip-hop generation to the fullest since he began his tour of duty as an educator. He has taught in tough inner cities like Baltimore and Newark, New Jersey, even though he has always been wooed toward suburban schools. He chose to stay. He's largely teaching African-American kids and other minorities who have been dismissed as less than intelligent and lacking in potential. But he hasn't become discouraged by what people tell him and about his kids. He knows better. The one time, quote, teacher of the year, unquote, has not once subscribed to what people think about us as a people. And he and his students' success rate is proof. He's more enthused by the challenge before him because he has a genuine love for his students. May I say, restate that, a genuine love for his students, and is bent on chartering a school to further affect change. And he makes neck snapping beats. Kevin Powell, a man of tremendous integrity and resolve, didn't win his bid for Congress last year during the midterm election. In my opinion, a lot of the reason he didn't win was largely because older people came out and reelected the incumbent official who had been reelected 13 times. The very people who knew who Kevin wanted to help didn't even participate. But Kevin has not once been discouraged from continuing his life's work in the community. This is a story I'm reading about the hip-hop response to the 2011 State of the Union, and this is by Chuck Jigsaw Creekmore. AllHipHop.com, if you want to take a look at that story. The dateline was Thursday, 1/27/2011. And to finish, I'd like to finish his article here. His writing can be seen on this very site. These few examples prove that hip-hop has never been about sitting and waiting for anybody to do for us. We do big things, quote-unquote. All Hip-Hop was started in a recession, when doors were closed to my business partner, Greg Watkins, and me. We didn't stay in Delaware to die a slow death. We moved to bigger things. When hip-hop was born, the pioneers could have easily fallen prey to the circumstances of the day, but they didn't, and we all soared higher because of it. The president's speech didn't make mention of the poor, but we have to address our needy, both physically and mentally. The American dream will never be realized if we don't give back, and we have seen fragile mental health become a huge issue in hip-hop. The shooting of Representative Gabby Giffords and others in Tucson, Arizona, was a tragedy, no doubt. Still, we have to remember that these sorts of tragic moments happen with alarming frequency in hoods across America, and most of them don't make the front page of the paper. Much less a State of the Union address. We've got to address gun violence, mental health, and other root causes in America if we want to change. If we want the change, that's more than just about just a Band-Aid. Lastly, we've got to dump the apathy. That's not hip-hop. So hip-hop, I say, we have reasons to stay positive and encouraged. We're a resilient group of people that historically makes nothing into something. Absolutely. Let me say that again. These hip-hop artists and followers, a lot of people don't understand, they say, and which is true in my opinion, they say, we're a resilient group of people that historically make nothing into something. We may not have the best of circumstances, but we're innovators. We may not have old money, but we've got young money. Our voices may not be heard on Capitol Hill, but we can be heard on the hilltops of our local neighborhoods. Let's get out of here and grind it out for ourselves, our loved ones, our culture. Let's make hip-hop the source of empowerment that it truly is, one community at a time. The president's right, quote-unquote, we do big things. Nobody does it bigger than we do, but we must remain vigilant about the small things to accomplish it. And this was featured in the loop21.com, and you can check him out. It's Chuck Jigsaw Creekmore. He's the co-founder and CEO of allhiphop.com. And this dateline was 1/27/2011. And I thought that was a very interesting take on the president's recent State of the Union address, and I hope you did as well. But Alpho, Brother Alpho, hey, great to see you. If you get a chance, give me a holler. I'm going to take a quick break, Brother Alpho. Anybody, if you, not just anybody, I'm not saying it as anybody, I'm saying anyone. And when I say that, I truly mean totally anyone, you're welcome. Brother Alpho, I really would appreciate you giving me a call if you choose to do so. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back right after this brief timeout.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. But not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one gets to know.
See, 'cause they got no place to be. That's why I'm
How you make that change. Thank you, Brother Michael. And welcome back to the next phase with Ice and Friends. Right now it's 42 minutes past 7, right? 28 minutes right now. No, 18 minutes before the hour of 8 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. Current conditions where I am, clear skies, 57 degrees. How about that? And it feels like it's 57, actually. Winds are southwest about 4 miles per hour. Man, I tell you, I hear about the cold weather on the east side, northeast side up there, and I'm telling you, I feel for you, you know, and I hope and pray that all of you will be doing just fine. I hope you don't have to get out on those highways and byways. I heard some friends in chat today talking about up in Pennsylvania and up in New York, 14 inches and some places 5-6 inches of snow. And you know, so I'm hoping that everybody's working through this thing and everything works out for you for the best. And, hey, you know, we look forward to seeing you, and we appreciate you being here with us, whether it be by chat room, whether it be by listening to us on the internet, or whether it be by listening to us on the phone, or whether you may be catching us on the archive shows. We appreciate you. And Brother Alpha's in the room. I wish he would give us a call, because I want to hear about the State of the Union, the response that the Truth Network is going to provide. I believe that's going to be, if I'm not mistaken, Saturday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, if I'm correct on that. I hope I am. And I hope you join in on that. And that'll be the Truth Network, T-R-U-T-H, Network. And you can put that in the search block on Blog Talk Radio, and you can get that information. And you can join in and provide your views and opinions of President Obama's State of the Union address. You know, one of the other topics that I had found of some interest to me, and I hope it will be of some interest to you as well, is let me see, I'm checking something right quick. Okay. And one of the topics that I found of some interest also from the loop as well was called a study of the epidemic of murder across Black America. And this is the Loop 21, Thursday, 1/27 is the dateline, 2:46 p.m. It says Washington. Washington is the source. For the second time in the past few years, Missouri topped the ranking on African-American homicides across the nation, beating its nearest competitor by 8 percentage points. And that's according to Yahoo News. Washington, D.C., a gun control group, Violence Policy Center, VPC, released its annual report Wednesday, shedding some chilling light on the epidemic of murder raging through the Black community, especially among young males. The study, which used the latest available FBI crime statistics from 2008, found that Missouri had 287 Black homicides that year for a victimization rate of 39.9%, 100,000 Black residents. The other states rounding out the top five deadliest places for African Americans were Pennsylvania, where 31 out of 100,000 Blacks were murdered in 2008, followed by Indiana, 28 per 100,000, Michigan, 24.5 per 100,000, and believe it or not, Tennessee, 22.6 per 100,000. In 2008, Black Americans represented 13% of the nation's population, but accounted for 48% of all homicide victims. When looking at the numbers since 2002, the impact of on the Black community is staggering. From 2002 to 2007, the number of young Black male homicide victims rose by 31%. And that, again, is the VPC, the Violence Policy Center statistics noted. The number of young Black homicide victims killed by guns rose at even sharper rates to 54%. Quote, the devastation homicide inflicts on Black teens and adults is a national crisis. yet it is all too often ignored outside of the affected communities. And that is a statement by the Violence Policy Center. So, you know, how do you stem the tide again of crimes in our community? How do we address that? What is there anything that any insight that you might have that would provide us with a source of eliminating those terrible, tragic situations that occur in our communities? You know, it really almost escapes me. But not really. I could give you an opinion about it, but it would be anecdotal. I don't think I could statistically prove it. But I think over a period of time, you know, some of the conclusions that I've drawn based on some of the information and evidence that I've seen, you know, when you have a lack of opportunity for jobs, then a lot of times people revert to some very, really terrible mental states. They seek to provide income by different means and methods, and those are often means and methods that would lead them to situations where that they may be exposed to. Devastating outcomes, and that's really a sad thing for us. Someone mentioned to me earlier, you know, I was telling them, they asked me what did I do, what was the reason or the purpose for what I did, you know, with the show, and I said primarily, you know, it has a political lean to it. And they suggested to me that they didn't have an interest in politics because they believed all politicians were liars and they were in it for their own gain. And I understand that. I mean, I don't argue with that. But you know, just as everyone has their opinion, my opinion is that if, you know, we were more fully armed with information, then there's a strong possibility that we would make some different decisions about, you know, and we would feel more invested in, you know, the possibilities of making a change. And I don't see life really I only see life dismal if I don't take an active part in it. And considering the fact that I have grandchildren and children, which my youngest is about 22 or so, 21, I think, will be 22 pretty soon, I think. But, you know, knowing that that I have children and grandchildren, then to me it's almost incumbent upon me to use every resource available, short of violence, to bring about a change in the political environment or the social environment where that all individuals have a better opportunity to reach tremendous levels of success, or those levels of success to me that they so well deserve to reach. And this is part of the impetus that causes me to take the perspective and involve and engage myself in what I do on Thursdays, 7 to 8:30 p.m., which is called the Next Phase with Ice and Friends, which allows you to provide your commentary to whomever chooses to listen to or be involved with this particular program. And there are literally, I'm almost certain that there are thousands of Blog Talk Radio shows. And I'm really very sure that there are hundreds of Blog Talk Radio and other types of shows. When you're on this medium, you're competing with every other more well-established, more well-funded, more professionally based media that there is out there. Yet and still, for some strange reason, I take, you know, a position that I feel that what I do has some purpose, and not just for any, not for my personal self gratification, because really, honestly, I could be doing a few other things on Thursday, but it's honestly that I have a chance, hopefully, to share with you some individuals that I've met, or some perspectives that I've had a chance to come across that may be give you a different perspective. Or maybe you can, you know, you might be influenced to give a call in or you know, whatever, and suggest a perspective that you may have that could be rewarding for somebody out there, something that's encouraging, something that provides some impetus for others to reach and stretch and go a little bit further, because there are those, I think, of us who maybe a small group, who have some similar and convergent ideas and beliefs, and we you know, some of the hosts that I've had a chance to visit with on Blog Talk Radio, we have more similar views than we have opposing views, and I think that if you look at the fabric of the U.S. honestly, and you looked at it objectively, that you would see that there are more similarities that we have, more things that we have in common and share in common than there are dissimilar things. And the idea, you know, if you really wanted to be successful, in my opinion, and I think that may be coming to a gradual, I see it gradually slowing down, is that you cite the dissimilarities. You cite the things that make us different, the things that make us antagonistic toward each other. And when you do that, you know, then you can formulate that niche where that you can appeal to those darker forces within our cultures. And we'll, you know, some of those, you know, it's polarizing, and it'll cause some to rally toward your perspective. But to me, that's not important. That's not significant. What's important to me is that we realize and we have the confidence to embrace each other and to suggest that together, you know, we can resolve a lot of issues that we felt in a way up to this point might have been insurmountable. But these issues that we address are not, you know, and this is where that, you know, a long time ago, and, you know, I'm going to see if I can pull this story up right quick. I was reading that the golden-voiced Ted Williams, that guy, that homeless man, that and I heard a show talking about this, and I was trying to think of who the host of the show was. The other day they had Hope Flood on it, and I'm so aggravated at myself that I didn't write down the name, and I was impressed, and I really appreciated them being in their presence, and they were very cordial. It's, I can't think of their names, but I will have it next week for sure. But they were talking about Golden Voice Ted Williams, and he leaves rehab against doctor's recommendations. And you know, I'm going to say, because I can attain a certain level of anonymity, and that's what I try to do by using the my nick and so forth, is that I have had an opportunity to be associated with a 12-step program. I had been involved in, you know, in the drug and alcohol scene since from the time I was like 16 to the time I was like 36. And I almost got fired from my job because of my involvement. But fortunately, there were some ways to address it that I had previously not even considered, which, you know, was one way, was the 12-step program for me and a higher power and so forth. But anyway, to my idea, you know, those types of things, I think, you know, it worked for me. And you know, that's the August 22nd, 1988 is my dry date. And probably if any of you are listening or hear me on archive, you'll be like, I wasn't even born in 1988. You know, but what I say to you is that, and I always believe this, and there was an old man that was my sponsor. You know, one of the things, part of my program, the major significant part of my program, was to have a sponsor. And one part was to make meetings. I made sometimes 3, 4, 5 meetings a day to pray, to read the big book, to read the Bible. I mean, these, you know, you have to develop this plan thing. You got to do your 6 and your 12 step and all this kind of stuff. And you have to admit that you're powerless over whatever your addictions are. But anyway, one of the things, the guy that I, because where I was, you know, I was in the minority population. And there was this old man. And I say that with a tremendous amount of respect and appreciation, because this man helped me so tremendously. But he had his hand cut off just above his wrist on his right arm. He was a wrinkled old guy, had Coke bottle glasses, probably about 5'4", 5'5", always laughing. I mean, you know, not a terribly attractive man. He said himself, described as a Skid Row bum, Anglo man. And that was my sponsor. This is who I did my steps with. But I trusted this man. I mean, he's a nice, tremendous guy. But one of the things, I was complaining to him one day, and I told him, I said, you know, Glenn, I said, man, I'm in this situation. I am sick and tired of it. And, you know, I tell you two stories. One of them is that I told him, I said, I'm tired of making these meetings, man. I said, I am sick and tired of making these meetings. And Glenn looked at me. He had a smile on his face, really. He said, I said, I'm not getting anything out of them. And Glenn looked at me and he said, well, what are you bringing to them? I was like, good point. You know, because my point was, I got clean, I'm done, I'm satisfied. But, you know, there were other people who were still out there suffering, who needed to hear a story, who the story said, this is where I was, this is what happened, this is where I am today. You know, there were people, but I was so selfish to think, now I got mine, the heck with the rest of them, you know. And he brought that to my attention, and I you know, that was like, what, 20 years ago? And I still appreciate that today. The other story was, I was complaining again, you know, on my, what we call our pity pot. You know, man, it's bad. I'm having problems with my old lady, this and this and that and that. And Glenn looked at me and he said, you know what? I said, what? He said, you're living in the problem and not the solution. And I was like, I never had ever thought of that before, because I always went from problem to problem. And since I met this dude and had a chance to visit with him, I've tried since then to go from solution to solution. But anyway, I want to welcome you to the next phase with Ice and Friends. That's heard Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so. 347-945-7040. Talking about Obama's 2-year anniversary. Story I found again in theloop21.com. Can you believe it? Has he done enough for Black America? With stubbornly high Black unemployment, is it time for the president to embrace the Black agenda? The question is, and this is by Dr. C. Alonzo Peters. And this dayline is Thursday, 1/20/2011 at 4:30 a.m. It says, heaven help us, our anointed Black leaders have gone and got themselves in a tizzy. For more than a year, debate has raged amongst the Black intelligentsia, with the Black unemployment rate reaching 15.8% and the African-American poverty rate surpassing 25%. And has the first American president done enough for Black America? In this corner of the great Negro leaders smackdown, we have Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, arguing that Mr. Obama needs to embrace a quote-unquote Black agenda. In the other corner, leaders who suggest that by fulfilling a broader agenda, the president is helping black America. Yes, I have much love for my brothers Smiley and West. But why can't they just let Mr. Obama do his thing? I mean, the man has the weight of the free world on his shoulder. China's eating our economic lunch. Crazy man Kim Jong Il is throwing nuclear-powered temper tantrums, and crazy Iraqis are blowing each other to pieces. Not to mention terrorists everywhere, rushing to be the first to turn New York or L.A. into a big nuclear dust bowl. And that's just the easy stuff. On the home front, the economy has fallen off the cliff. Crazy birthers insist the president is a foreigner. Tea Party fanatics claim he's a socialist Marxist incarnation of the Antichrist, not to mention a whole political party that wants to see him fail. Mere mortals would have given up by now, or like our previous president, gone golfing. Obama is not a miracle worker. He cannot part the waters and automatically cure everything that ails black America. In arguing for a black American agenda, people, quote-unquote, people quickly forget that little thing called, Congress, the one full of politicians seeking to make him a, quote-unquote, one-term president, a so-called, quote-unquote, black agenda would get a smackdown in the Congress quicker than Flavor Flav's discovery at a Klan rally. We might as well give Fox a 24/7 gift wrap news story. We saw what they did when the Obama Justice Department dropped the case against the new Black Panther Party. All two members. A firestorm of right-wing coverage sought to engender racial resentment against the president. No, Mr. Obama is a smooth operator. He's much smarter than that. On the second year anniversary of his inauguration, it's clear he's helped the black community by engaging in a broader American agenda. As they say, a rising tide lifts all ships. Mr. Obama kept us out of another Great Depression. Talk about being unappreciative. When is the last time black leaders thanked Mr. Obama for keeping us out of the second Great Depression? They say when America catches a cold, black America gets pneumonia. But what happened when America catches pneumonia? Perhaps black America gets carted straight to the morgue. President Obama learned well the histories of Herbert Hoover. Continuing on, and this is by Dr. Alonzo Peters. This was in the Loop 21, if you want to read the story. And it's talking about Obama's two-year anniversary. Has he done enough for black America? Hoover's actions ushered in the Great Depression. Not letting history repeat itself, the president continued the unpopular bank bailouts that, combined with his large stimulus package, kept the nation from slipping into the Great Depression Part 2. Heck, in a Great Depression, the quote-unquote black agenda might have consisted of us picking up dandelions to cook for dinner as they did in the 30s. Yes, 67% unemployment would make the current 15.8% unemployment rate seem downright cozy. It's easy to be critical of the president when you're not standing in the line at a soup kitchen. The president saved the engine of the black middle class. The automobile industry has been called one of the greatest engines of black America's economic progress. The industry provided high-paying jobs that fueled black migration from the South and helped propel a large number of blacks into the middle class. Robert Townsend once said, there's always work, quote unquote, there's always work at the post office. But for nearly 40 decades, there was always work for black folk in Detroit. Heck, there would be a no motor city without GM, Ford, and Chrysler. Even today, the share of black workers in the auto industry is higher than other industries, and their wage higher as well. The Economic Policy Institute reported that the collapse of American auto industry would be, quote-unquote, catastrophic for African Americans. Yet this industry was about to go the way of afros and polyester pants suits until the president stepped in. He bailed out GM and Chrysler and helped lead them back from the abyss. In the process, Detroit was brought back from the grave. Obama's health care plan saves African-American lives. The three things you can find at any black family gathering, loud talking uncles, spades and dominoes, and someone, quote-unquote, sugar or, quote-unquote, high blood pressure. Who among us doesn't have a relative on dialysis or one who suffered from an amputation due to diabetes? We receive less medical care or diagnosed later and die earlier than everyone else. It doesn't take a genius to realize the president's health care plan will particularly benefit African Americans. The plan will cover 30 million more people, require insurance companies to pay the full cost of many preventative services, and invest nearly $11 billion in community health centers in undeserved areas. Or should I say underserved areas, pardon me. Now, if we could just lay off the ribs and fried chicken, our president created a watchdog to police the vultures who frequently prey on the black community. President Obama created the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, an agency charged to protect consumers from abusive financial practices. Predatory lending targeting minority communities led to mass foreclosures that wiped millions of dollars out of the black community and helped create the housing crisis. A new consumer watchdog agency is exactly the thing needed to help stem abuse of payday lenders, rent-to-own stores, and fly-by-night auto lenders that frequently take advantage of the black community. As if those things alone weren't enough to secure President Obama a permanent picture on the living room wall alongside Jesus and MLK, let's take a quick look at some of the other things the president accomplished in his first 2 years. Cocaine and crack sentencing disparity. Many black men sit in prison not for violent crimes, but for drug possession. As I continue, yet drug laws were often unfair. Sentencing someone convicted of processing crack cocaine, the form of choice for many young black men, parenthesis closed, to the same sentence as someone caught possessing 100 times the amount of powder cocaine. Mr. Obama advocated more than equitable sentencing guidelines, and Congress passed the Fair Sentencing Act, which reduced the sentencing disparity between crack and powder cocaine from 100-1. To 18-1. Black farmer settlement. The Obama administration helped settle a discrimination suit against the government brought by black farmers. Nearly $1.2 billion will be awarded to farmers discriminated against by the Agriculture Department. HBCU. The president's 2011 budget increased funding for historically black colleges and universities by $98 million. Obama cut out private lenders as middlemen in the student loan game, using the savings to increase funding for the Pell Grants, which provide funds for poor students to attend college. Increased diversity in the judiciary. In addition to appointing 2 female Supreme Court justices, the president has made the judiciary one of the most diverse in U.S. history. According to the Alliance for Justice, 44% of the president's judicial nominees are minority, more than double the number under George W. Bush. This is a legacy that will last much longer than Mr. Obama's term in office. On the 2-year anniversary of President Obama's inauguration, the evidence shows that the black community has clearly benefited from his leadership, even without a so-called, quote-unquote, black agenda. Yes, we're all frustrated with the high black unemployment, the incarceration rates for our black men, and the number of female-headed black households. And it's easy for our black leaders to point a finger at the head man in charge. But instead of looking to Obama as black America's savior on high, perhaps our leaders should take a look in the mirror and ask themselves, quote-unquote, what are they doing to improve the plight of black people? And that's an article that I found in the Loop 21. And the article entitled "On Obama's 2-Year Anniversary, Has He Done Enough for Black America?" With stubbornly high black unemployment, it is time for the president to embrace the quote-unquote black agenda. That's a question mark. And this article was written eloquently by Dr. C, far more eloquently than I was able to read it, by Dr. C. Alonzo Peters. All right? So let me do this right quick. When I do these articles, I have lose track because I need a little bit more, a few more computers. But anyway, we'll be right back with more of the next phase with Ice and Friends right after this.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw us disregard a broken bottle top and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. Oh, well.
Make that change. Welcome back. The next phase of Ice and Friends. And always remember, you're welcome to give us a call at 347-945-7040 right here on Blog Talk Radio, Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. And we're always happy to have you either involved in the chat room, involved on the telephone, involved in the archive, or whichever way you choose to find yourself involved. We appreciate it. And in the chat room, Brother Alpha and Delightful T, thank you so much for being there. We really appreciate you. And Sister Kitty, for me, CC, I hope you got a chance to listen in tonight. And Sister Lisa, thank you for giving me a call, I mean, or at least listening in earlier. And for all the other individuals who give us a chance and take a listen to what we do right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends on Blog Talk Radio, we so much appreciate you. And we definitely would appreciate hearing from you if you want to give us a call or contact us, blakicz1@gmail.com for our email. Holler at us, give us a chance, and we'll try to get some interesting hosts or interesting guests or information that you'd like to take a look at right here. And because we're always looking for anything that's uplifting and inspiring, as well as noteworthy, some contemporary social issues, political issues, financial issues, international issues, or whatever you might find to be more to your liking. We greatly appreciate you sharing it with us right here. And I was looking, I got to give a shout out to the African American News and Issues. This is Texas wide is circulated and read newspaper with Black perspective. And I want to give them a shout out. They have some interesting articles also, and that's you can find them at www.afrmnews.com, afrmnews.com, they have some interesting articles, and I really enjoy taking a look at what they have to offer us at different times. And you know what? I was looking through there, and I found something that was it was really meaningful to me. And it really touched me. This is by Tuala Williams, January the 24th, 2011. You know, this is the PV experience, more than a degree. Now, I'm going to, if you don't know about the PV experience, I'm going to hold you in suspense for a little bit. But I'm going to give you this quote here. This is a part of the story. Quote, "For every man whose foot has touched this hallowed soil has found a spirit and has broadened and deepened it until what started out as an ambition, meandering stream has become a purposeful river upon whose tide floats the destiny of countless human hopes and dreams. The giants, the world shakers, have stood on our hill to mingle their search for truth with the fledgling hopes for life," unquote. Dr. George Rubel Wolfolk, the first 75 years, 1876 to 1951, Prairie View, Agricultural and Mechanical College of Texas. Now, why is Prairie View significant to me? Well, let me tell you. My mother, God rest her soul, graduated from Prairie View A&M. And she received her master's degree from Prairie View A&M. And so I was totally delighted when I got a chance to see this article in there about Prairie View A&M. And it says, "When students step foot on the grounds of Texas Prairie View A&M University, they unwittingly become immersed in layers of history. Ironically, the land on which African-American students enjoy access to higher education was once a plantation where slaves, denied even the right to learn the basics of reading and writing, once labored." So I happened to be strolling through, and I saw that article, and I wanted to share that with you. And that is courtesy of African American News and Issues. And if you want to take a look at that ever, you can look at it at www.afrmnews.com. And as I said before, their byline is Texas widest circulated in red newspaper with a black perspective. And be not dismayed, anyone who is not black or a black American. Please, you know, take a look at some of the diversity that we can offer, some of the opinions that we have and hold, and, you know, don't feel the least bit agitated or aggravated by them because, you know, I guarantee you, you know, I really struggle with myself justifying it because there is no opposition to justifying our opinion or nor the opinion of people of first generation people, Aboriginal people, people of Hispanic or Latina origin. Everyone's views, and there should never have been a contest as to whose views should have been more prevalent, prominent, or dominant. You know, everyone's views, I think, should have been, always heard and respected and appreciated and considered in the process of making certain decisions. And possibly we wouldn't have found ourselves in some of the more precarious situations that we find ourselves in as we traversed the centuries in the evolution of what we consider to be the United States of America. 24 minutes right now past 8 p.m., 36 minutes before 9 p.m. CST, Central Standard Time, and you're listening to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And as always, we encourage you giving us a call at 347-945-7040. And one more shout-out to the chat room, to Brother Alpha and Sister Delightful T. And Brother Alpha, I was hoping that you'd give me a call and straighten me out on what the topics were about in regard to what y'all were going to do on the Truth Network. Guest 6376, thank you for joining us also. Oh, Brother's on conference call. No problem. And let me tell you what, the www.blogtalkradio.com, /Truth Network, Saturday at 3 p.m., 3 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. That'll be 3 and 5 Eastern Standard Time, and that'll be 2 and 4 Central Standard Time. And please join them and listen in. And if I'm not mistaken, he'll give you more information. And all you have to do is come to Blog Talk Radio and enter A-L-F-O, Alpha. And it will direct you to his show, and it will give you the information. And if you tune in Saturday, you'll find out about the State of the Union response and exploration and analysis that is going to be provided by the Truth Network with Sister Janice Graham, Sister India DeClaire, and Brother Alpha. And that will be on about 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, I do believe. And, hey, much respect on the conference call. I was in on the conference call last night at the behest of Sister Lisa, dropped three dress sizes in 10 minutes. And that conference call was really inspirational. And we'll be sharing more with you about that later on in shows to come. There is something that I wanted to bring to your attention, and I found this in Think Progress. You know, I look at some of the articles. I look at as many articles as possible and try to find things that are congruent with what we try to do with the next phase with Ice and Friends. And one of the articles that I found was how the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's Egyptian affiliate went to bat for the Egyptian dictatorship. Now, pay attention to what's going on in Egypt. I really didn't look at it and pay that much, attention to what was going on. I saw some demonstrations, but I didn't look at some of the reasons. So, you know, some of the shows you may hear on here in the next few days or until we get a chance to visit with you again, hopefully next week, may be addressing some of those issues, what's going on in Egypt. And I'll try to address some of it here in just a second. But also the flashback, Republicans warned Chrysler Rescue was a war on capitalism. Chrysler wouldn't survive. Well, to their dismay, it did survive. And the Koch brothers, watch out for the Koch brothers, the Tea Party people, Watch out for these guys. The Coke Industries promises to double the money raised this weekend. 40% of donors will be new, so pay attention to that. Seriously. And after complaining that Obamacare, quote unquote, cuts Medicare, Hensarling, that's Jeff or whatever his name, Jeff Hensarling, I think he's from Texas, but wants huge cuts in Medicare and privatization. So watch out for those Republicans. They're going to be, you know, trying to cut Medicare and Medicaid. We got 90 seconds to go here. GOP puts a guy who thinks federal child labor laws are unconstitutional on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Can you imagine a person who thinks child labor laws are unconstitutional, but he's on the Senate Judiciary Committee? And I could get into that, but I won't. Boehner attacks Obama for supposedly ignoring American exceptionalism in the State of the Union. Brother Boehner. And let me tell you, let me drop down here right quick and find this story about Boehner. Give you a headline on him if I can find it real quick. Am I going to be able to find it? Maybe not. I got 60 seconds. Oh, here it is. Boehner to give keynote address at insurance industry conferences lobbying day. Boehner. And you can look at that at Think Progress. So if you get a chance, thinkprogress.org, take a look and see what Mr. Boehner is all about. With that said, let me tell you, I hope you have a good week. God bless you and yours, and may God be with you and bless and keep you. Brother Mandela, our prayers go out to you and anyone who's sick and ailing. Our prayers go out to you and anyone who has had a family member who they've lost. We our prayers go out to you as well. Join us again right here next Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. on the next phase with Ice and Friends. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care. Have a good week.
Once in my life, it's gonna feel real good, gonna make a difference, gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I? Blind, pretending not to see them need. I saw us disregard a broken bottle top and one man's slow. They follow each other on the wind and know, cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet does know. We